March 13th, 1938, as terrible events occurred in Europe, a radio program was broadcast to America of a sort never heard before. Reporters spoke directly from the scene of the news, telling their listeners what was happening out of their own personal experience. It was a riveting new kind of journalism. The program was the CBS World News Roundup, with reports, as the announcer used to say, from our correspondents at home and overseas. The World News Roundup is still on the air. It no longer seems miraculous, but once it did. Charles Osgood tells the story of the day the world became a smaller place.
Tonight the world trembles, torn by conflicting forces. Throughout this day, event has crowded upon event in tumultuous Austria.
That was how it began, with the world trembling. The occasion was the Anschluss, the Nazi takeover of Austria. The broadcast was an unprecedented linking of world capitals. It was an idea that would become the CBS World News Roundup. The voice was that of Robert Trout, the legendary reporter who was the world's first anchorman. He told us about it recently at his home in Madrid.
Well, the crisis was building, the tension was building. There was this developments hour by hour, day after day, and the United States public was extremely interested in this.
This is Bob Trout speaking to you from New York, opening Columbia's shortwave transatlantic program to cover the key cities of Europe.
On that first World News Roundup broadcast, reporting from London, was William L. Shirer.
I must say that after the delirious mobs I saw in Vienna on Friday night, today's demonstrations here in London look pretty tame.
From Berlin, Pierre J. Huss.
It has become clear that Adolf Hitler has inspired 68 million Germans in the past few days with the new flame of patriotism.
Here is Edgar A. Maurer.
From Paris, Edgar A. Maurer.
With the invasion and conquest of Austria, the true nature of German policy has, in French eyes, become completely clear.
And from Vienna, a young CBS executive making his first news report, Edward R. Murrow.
From the air, Vienna didn't look much different than it has before. But nevertheless, it's changed. The crowds are courteous, as they've always been. But many people are in holiday mood. They lift the right arm a little higher here than in Berlin. And the Heil Hitler is said a little more loudly.
It was an enormous show to Americans. They didn't quite realize, perhaps, that it was the first step toward a war, that certainly they didn't realize that it was a war that would engulf America, too, in the end. But it was an enormous spectacle, in a sense, and the whole country was fascinated.
A summary of European opinion presented from the capitals of Europe by shortwave radio across the Atlantic Ocean.
The World News Roundup defined what a news broadcast ought to be. Douglas Edwards, who retires at the end of this month after 46 years at CBS News, says it changed his life.
When I heard the Roundup, the 8 to 8:45 Roundup on that March 13th, 1938, I was then working as a reporter on WSB, the Atlanta Journal Station, and working on the paper, too. And I said at that point, that's where I want to go. I want to go to CBS News. And about 4 years later, I got lucky and made it. I must say, I got out and I tried to prepare myself for it, which is a good idea anyway. But those impressions were so very strong for me. The influence they had on me was just tremendous.
Now here is Douglas Edwards with the CBS World News Roundup. Good morning, everybody.
Now, here's Ned Kalmer with the CBS World News Roundup. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup.
Good morning. This is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup.
Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup.
That's the most daunting thing about having responsibility and participating in this broadcast. It is knowing who my predecessors in this chair were, what kinds of work they were able to do, what kinds of events they brought to the American people, those tumultuous days in the late 1930s when the world was catching fire.
Strangest sound
one can hear in London these days, or rather these dark nights. Just the sound of footsteps walking along the street, like ghosts shod with steel shoes.
This was London, Ed Morrow in the Blitz.
Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against this steel blue sky. Now you'll hear two bursts a little nearer in a moment. There they are. That hard, stony sound.
The reporters' names and their voices would become familiar in millions of American households as history unfolded before our mind's eye. Eric Severide in Rome.
They understand that if the war spreads over the industrial north, Italy is ruined economically for perhaps a generation. So they are praying that the war ends before the battle line moves on.
Forces of this invasion.
Charles Collingwood on the Normandy beaches on D-Day.
It seems as though the German gunners, amazed at this incredible sight, have stopped firing on the beach now because it's quiet here. And
everybody who was anybody at CBS News appeared on the World News Roundup over the years.
This is Alexander Kendrick, CBS News. If you want
to... Winston Burdett, CBS News.
And that Rome. Taiwan is part of it. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
During the Korean War, Robert Pierpoint.
Morning of the 18th, and we're still out here on the hill with Foch Company as they try to advance up the valley here. Whoop. That was a big one.
The settlement of agenda item number 2.
George Herman.
Faction of both sides seemed like the end of a major headache which had been plaguing the ceasefire talks for months. But headaches at Panmunjom are like the hills of Korea. When you have surmounted one, you find two more beyond it.
Walter Cronkite reporting from Vietnam.
I still hope that in a day or two or 3 days, the Marines will have cleared that section across the Perfume River in the Citadel. But they're waiting for air power to give them a little assistance.
Dallas Townsend on the site of an A-bomb test.
Now the cloud is beginning to expand, a sort of cataract of white foam, white cloud is pouring over the top of it.
That was the shock wave.
It was Townsend who anchored the World News Roundup for the longest time, some 25 years. We chatted recently near his home in Florida. He told us that in those days, long before television, of course, no audio tape, the World News Roundup was live, and that meant you could never count on a signal coming through.
There were many times when circuits didn't come through, and I would switch to what I thought was Paris, and nothing would happen. We'd get dead air. That was very embarrassing.
What do you do?
Then you start filling. You start ad-libbing, and you hope you have enough copy on, extra copy on hand to cover the vacant time.
And you know, Bob Trout can remember feeling embarrassed one day near the end of World War II.
Sure enough, one day the bells rang on AP and said the armistice was signed, or an armistice. So instantly like that, a matter of seconds, 2, 3, 4 seconds, I was on the air. I had the microphone with me, a long cable, and I could get it just instantly, get the air behind you. So I was on the air, and I was talking and reading as it came in, you know, and first the flash, and then came a bulletin that didn't say much more, and I had to do a lot of ad-libbing and just talking around it. And then after a certain time, I couldn't tell you how long, 5 or 10 minutes, AP said, kill it, it wasn't true. So I said, well, I hadn't really alarmed anybody because I kept saying in every other sentence, now this is not official and we don't know and we're not sure, but AP is saying so. And they were, no. So I put the microphone down, got off the air. It was a sigh of relief, and it was rather warm in the studio, and I felt warm too. So I went over to the window. And it's not in the studio, sorry, rather warm in the newsroom. I went over to the window and opened it to just get some air and stuck my head out. And the place was going crazy. Every taxi cab down in the streets had people leaning on their horns, you know, and tugboats in the Hudson River blowing their whistles. And I said, did I do that? It was terrible.
This broadcast from 5 world capitals has been a presentation of Columbia's Department of Special Events, which will continue to cover the European situation, bringing you special broadcasts and bulletins as fresh news arrives on this side of the ocean. Bob Trout speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
What began 50 years ago continued through the end of the war. The Cold War, the Korean War, Vietnam, the civil rights struggle, assassinations, Watergate, all of that. The voices in the headlines were the voices of history. And the history was laid out day by day on the CBS World News Roundup in a matter-of-fact, straightforward, journalistic way. The Roundup showed what radio, and indeed later television, could and should do.
Lebanese Amal militia says it's caught kidnappers of U.S. Marine officers. Secretary of State George...
And despite all the changes in broadcasting and in the world, the CBS World News Roundup at the age of 50 is still alive and kicking. We're not heading for the last Roundup just yet.
At the Panmunjom Truce Village today, a top American officer glared across the table at North Korean officials and blamed them for the deaths of 115 innocent civilians, Peter Mass reports.
The U.S. side accused North Korea of trying to sabotage the upcoming Seoul Summer Olympics by bombing the South Korean...